Matthew chapter 11. Beginning in verse 20 of this chapter, the Lord began to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works were done. And the reason given is that they repented not. He says to Bethsaida, Chorazin, the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon would have repented if they'd seen what you've seen. Then in verse 23, to Capernaum, he tells them if that wicked city of Sodom had seen what they'd seen, they'd have repented and it would have remained unto this day. Our Lord makes so much of the matter of sinning against light. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 2:21, "For it had been better not to have known the way of righteousness than to know and turn from the holy commandment." And Jesus says to Capernaum here in verse 24, it'll be better for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now that's some kind of a verse. You say, well, I didn't think there was anything worse than sodomy. Yeah. One thing, unbelief. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. People don't think it's serious to go to church all their life and ignore God's word. They don't think that's serious. But it's worse than any and all open sin in the whole world. To go to church all your life and ignore God's word. Awful, awful, awful. Because you see, our hearts are open and known to God all the time. He knows your every thought and motive. And just to put it bluntly, there is absolutely no hope for a character like you. Except in Christ. Now that's the bottom line. Verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. Talking about the precious things of the gospel, the truth. You've hid them from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. This is the Lord Jesus praying to the Father, and he says, Father, I thank thee that you've done it just the way you have. That you've blinded some that thought this qualified, and you've enlightened some that knew they weren't. And the Son says to the Father, I like it. And I thank you that you've done it that way. Verse 27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. He to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. No man knows the Father except Christ reveals him. John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Same thing. And now we have these familiar verses, verses 28 to 30, which I love. And they direct us as to how to go about obtaining what every heart listening to the sound of my voice this morning desires. Rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Are you not tired and weary? And I'm going to talk about physically. I'm talking about from all the garbage and all the hellishness and all the unbelief and all the rejection of God in this world that we're in. I'm tired of it in the world. I'm praying I'll be tired of it in my own heart. So the title of our message today is The School of Christ. And we're going to read these verses 28 to 30. The School of Christ. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Note in verse 28, the beautiful invitation from the lips of our Lord. Come unto me. It's not unconditional, but the conditions here are twofold. Twofold condition to this invitation. First, it's all ye that labor. That is active. That is something you've taken on yourself. And second, and are heavy laden. That's passive. A load that's been placed on you that you didn't take on yourself. So, that's the two conditions. Christ says, to be in on this invitation, to come unto me. First, all ye that labor. Second, ye that are heavy laden. Now, this labor, he's not talking about working over at the job you're on. Not that kind of labor. And the heavy laden, he's not talking about you lifting 75 or 100 pounds. Not that kind of load. But it's a heart laboring to close with God about your sin. And this heavy laden is the load of guilt and shame and unbelief and fear and doubt. That's who the invitation's for. Now today, all this religious activity that's got the Lord smiling ear to ear because they're doing so good and doing so much, this invitation's not for that crowd. This is for people with a torn heart, a failing heart, an unfaithful heart, struggling and laboring in spirit for rest, for peace with God. Those loaded down with the burden of guilt and shame. In short, the invitation is to those not making the grade. It is not to those who think they are. But I want to speak from verse 29, the school of Christ. All God's children are in school. Did you know that? There are no dropouts. A lot of us play hooky a lot. But you're God's child. You're in school. His school. And all God's children are learning. Some of us insist on learning the hard way, but we're learning. And whether we recognize it or not, are progressing all the time. Now there's lots of people sitting around that are not enrolled, but all the students are making progress. So our first thought about this school of Christ here in verse 29 is this. The command of enrollment. The command of enrollment. And we find it in the first part of the verse. Christ says, take my yoke upon you. Notice this is not a question. Would you like to take my yoke upon you? It is not a suggestion. Perhaps you'd consider taking my yoke upon you. No. It's a command. And all who would know God, Christ said there's no way to know him except by me. So take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Be my disciple, my student. Enroll in my school. The New Testament does not place any value on religious campaigns that major on getting professions of faith out of people. It rather teaches us, in that great commission, go and make disciples, which means students. Teach them, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Urge men to enroll in the school of Christ and be obedient to him. Follow him. Take my yoke upon you. Now this thing of the yoke, I never thought of it till late yesterday, and I had thought about looking around and trying to find one. Maybe somebody, has anybody got an old, you know, you see them in these antique stores sometimes. Anybody got a yoke? An old double ox yoke? Nobody here? I thought you might, Andrew. I thought you might, Bill. Literally. An old double, yeah. Well, it's a in years gone by, it was a farm implement before the days of tractors and power equipment. A farm implement made of wood, so long, and it's designed to fit under the neck and around the breast area of an ox, so that two, side by side, could pull a load. Made for two animals. It was used in the, this thing of the yoke is used in the Old Testament as an emblem of bondage and slavery. The Lord spoke several times of Israel's yoke of bondage. Bondage in Egypt, bondage in Babylon. But greater than Egypt or Babylon, the bondage of sin. The prophet Jeremiah, a great man of wisdom, said in Lamentations 3:27, it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. What that means is that he have some discipline, some restraints on his life. It's a good thing, he said. Then Paul, confronting the false doctrine to the churches of Galatia, Judaism, and he's writing to the believers there, and he says to them, stand fast in the liberty. This is Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. So a yoke is a binding thing. It puts the burden of having to pull whatever load is behind and is attached to the yoke. The great irony in this verse is that the yoke, a thing which enslaves, a thing which puts in bondage, a thing which puts to hard labor, a thing which brings weariness. Christ speaks of his yoke as giving rest. Giving rest. The yoke is a symbol of working and sweating hard all day. Be like saying to somebody, let's go out and hoe corn all day and rest up. No, you'll get wore out. Let's go out and pull the plow all day and rest. No, it'll wear you out. The yoke is a binding thing. It is a wearying thing. But Christ speaks of his yoke as giving rest. And so this is the commandment of enrollment in the school of Christ. Take my yoke upon you. It is our nature to flee the other direction at the thought of being put into a yoke. But Christ explains in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'll just say three things about this in relation to this command of enrollment. Then we'll move on. Take my yoke upon you. How does one do that? You must be willing to draw near him. Draw near him. You see, the yoke is not made a mile wide. It's just wide enough for two to work closely together. Draw near. Draw near. Without a great distance in between. Matter of fact, the two oxen walk so close and work so close, sometimes they'd rub against one another's side. See? So you must be willing to draw near with nothing to hide from the Lord. Plenty to be ashamed of, yes. But nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. Secondly, you must submit to walk in the same direction he's walking. You wouldn't take one ox and have his head coming this way in the yoke, and the other one have his head going that way in the yoke. You're in for a mass confusion. Uh-uh. There has to be submission to walk in the same way the Lord's walking. Same direction. And that involves agreeing with God about who he is. Agreeing with God about who his son is. Agreeing with God and his word, what it is, and the message and what it says. It has to do with agreeing with what he's done, is doing, and gonna do. And submit to walking in the same way he's walking. Third thing in taking the yoke of Christ, you're joined to him. In other words, that yoke does not come apart. It's one piece. Joins the two animals together to pull together. And yoked up with Christ, joined to him, you feel the load he's pulling and has pulled in the flesh and is pulling in spirit in this world. And at the same time, he feels the load you're pulling. What hurts him hurts you. The persecution he faced, you face. The rejection he experienced, you experience. The tribulation he had, you have. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Christ said, they hated me before they hated you. And he told his disciples a little while before he left here, they'll hang me, then they'll hang you. So I ask this question, what's the point today in going through the motions of religion, in pretense of obtaining a ticket to heaven? That's not it. That's not it at all. The Apostle Paul, as an old man, writing from a prison cell at Rome, somebody asked him, what is it you want, Paul, more than anything else in the world? To get out of this filthy cold prison? Paul said, no, that's not it. Here's what I want more than anything. More than anything in all the world, is that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. That I might know something more about that got Him out of the grave. And that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. Not His redemptive suffering. He had to do that alone. But in the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made conformable to His death. I want to be made like Christ. I just want a little more progress in the school of Christ. That's what he said. So what's the command of enrollment? Take my yoke upon you. It involves drawing near to Him. It involves submitting to walk in the same direction He's walking. It involves bearing the same load, pulling the same load He's pulling. Secondly, in this verse, I see another thought. The content of the education in the school of Christ. What is the curriculum in this school of Christ? What is it we're to learn? Well, here it is. He says it plainly. And learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. Not just learn from me, but learn of me. Yoked up with me, you'll learn me. You'll experience in a measure, small measure, what it is to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In the world you shall have tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But here's the glorious part. John 17:22. The glory which my Father hath given unto me, I give unto you. My love, my purity, my peace, my promise, I give unto you. Yoked up with me, a life with me, will bring you to testify with Paul and to reckon with Paul that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And these scriptures we're talking about are not, they're not just general statements to a religious society. This is for those truly in the school of Christ. I'm glad to be a student today. Enrolled. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. A third thought. One of the things we'll learn, yoked up with Him, we'll learn the character of the master teacher. Look what he says. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I am. This is one of those neglected I ams of Christ. I am meek and lowly in heart. Many have written and have preached, and I have preached about the seven I ams of Christ in the Gospel of John. But there are others scattered throughout the scriptures. For instance, Psalm 22:6, I am a worm. That's not David, that's Christ. I am broken, Psalm 38. I am bowed down. I am feeble. Psalm 39, I am a stranger. That's not just David, that's Christ. The Old Testament. That's the I am. Job 40 and verse 4, behold, I am vile. That's not just Job. That's Christ with our sin upon him. Psalm 22:14, I am poured out like water. That's not just David. That's Christ, the great I am, rejected and suffering and cut off in this world. And here in Matthew is another one. I am meek and lowly in heart. This is to be learned in the school of Christ. First, I am meek. I am meek. Let me read you five thoughts I jotted down about meekness, and we see Christ in all this. One, meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Two, meekness is the bearing of injuries with a belief that God will vindicate you. Three, meekness is believing God's word. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Four, meekness is the expression of a heart too great to be moved by little insults. And five, meekness is not cowardice, but courage, which wastes no energy on childish retaliation. This is Christ our Lord. In other words, he is. He said, I am meek. He is what we need. And Christ is saying, when you yoke up with me, when you walk with me, you're going to learn. I didn't fight back every time I could have fought back. And if you're yoked up with me, a measure of that will rub off on you. You'll learn at least a little bit along life's way that in God's time, he'll straighten things out. There was a time in my life when I never had the patience to cope with all the things I've had to cope with through the years. But I have learned just a little, just a little. And the biggest thing I've learned, and the best thing I've ever learned, is to lean on him. That's right. Learning to lean. It's the best thing you can ever learn in this life. Making it on your own is not an option. I know a lot of folk that needs to understand that. Making it on your own is not an option. I didn't know if you knew that. So I'll say it again. Making it on your own is not an option. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I believe the greatest demonstration of meekness this world has ever seen was when the sinless, spotless Son of God, hanging on a cross, dying the death of a sinner, in humiliation and shame. And there was not one speck of swaying toward what he could do. He was fully occupied with the will of his Father and what he would do. You see, Christ was not in this world to get what he deserved. He was here to get what you deserved. And he got it. Nailed to a cross. So we really ought not whine over a small measure of the fruit of our sin along the way. When our Lord took the full wages of it upon himself and bore it away forever. Then he said, not only meek, but I am lowly in heart. What does that mean? Well, his heart was not set on fame and fortune and glory while he was here. I am meek and lowly in heart. I looked for that word lowly. It's not anywhere else in the New Testament. Lowliness is, but lowly is not. But listen to Zechariah the prophet. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Talking about Christ. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He is just and having salvation. Well, boy, that means he can just march in, knocking people out of the way and take charge. No. No, he came just and having salvation. But Zechariah continues, he came lowly. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Our Lord did not demand the respect and the honor he was worthy of while he was in this world. And yet for you and I to be chosen and called out as his children, we've been given far more honor than we could ever be worthy of. Oh yes. And Paul instructed us to be like Christ in this. Ephesians 4:2, to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that means don't demand other people to be perfect. Philippians 2:3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There's no use in me lowering the boom on you or you lowering the boom on anybody else. All we have to do is look in the mirror. We'll find somebody just as sorry. It's the grace of God, I'm telling you. In other words, what Paul is saying, don't dare think about treating others according to what you think they deserve. But rather you consider how much better you've been treated than what you deserve. I'm telling you, this school of Christ is rough business. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. You link up with me. You link up with me. You'll be like John the Baptist. You'll not be looking for the best shoes. You'll be looking to take your own off and forfeit your authority to him. The school of Christ, it's rough business. I'm telling you, it locks us up, it shuts us up, but it frees us in Him. The command of enrollment, take my yoke upon you. The content of the education, the curriculum of the school, learn of me. And the character of the educator, the master teacher, I am meek and lowly in heart. And then fourth and finally, the comfort of the educated. Those in the school, those that make progress. Look what he says. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. What about that? You've been looking everywhere else for it. The Lord said you could find it with me. And the rest he promises here is not in idleness or in laziness, but it's in the yoke with Christ. It's about not having your way all the time. It's about not avoiding everything that's uncomfortable. No. It's about not crucifying everybody that don't agree with you. No. Yoke up with Christ. He is the rest. The rest is not something about Him or something from Him. The rest is Him. Mr. Spurgeon said this, and this will nail us now. He said, it is a vain idea of ours to suppose that if our circumstances were altered, we should be more at rest. Now that's the way most of us seek it, isn't it? Struggling to change circumstances. But he continues, my brother, if you cannot rest in poverty, neither would you in riches. If you cannot rest in the midst of persecution, neither would you in the midst of honor. It is the spirit within that gives the rest and has little to do with anything without. Christ is the rest. In reading a little about the yoke, in olden times, when it was a necessity, wasn't any tractor, oxen. The yokes were custom made to fit the individual ox. It was quite an art. It was a skill, craftsmanship. And the yoke maker would actually go to a man's farm and measure the animal across the neck and across the shoulders and chest area, and would get an idea whether it was a thin build or a more stocky built animal. And then he would cut the wood and finish the yoke, file it, sand it, smooth it, shape it. He would finish the yoke to fit the individual ox that is made for. The yoke wasn't the same on both sides. Each side was made for one particular ox. And sometimes there's a noticeable difference in the two sides. One side is fitted for a much larger ox than the other side, that they both could work in to their full potential. The strong ox and the weak ox weren't expected to pull the same weight, but that yoke was made to where the strong ox could do his best, and the weak ox could do his best, and the full strength of both working together did the job. Well, I want to say to you, Christ is the big ox. That's why he said, my yoke is easy. The other side of it will fit you. And you'll work fine. You can make it with me, is what he's saying. What you can't pull, I'll pull. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. You won't fail with me. And you won't fall with me. I'll take up the slack. I'll make up the difference. One other thought and we'll stop. And looking at verses 28 and 29 together. Look at this with me. Both verses, 28 and 29, both begin with a command. In verse 28, it's come unto me. And in verse 29, it's take my yoke upon you. And then both verses end with rest. But my point is how the rest comes. In verse 28, it's given. I will give you rest. But in verse 29, it's found. You shall find rest for your soul. How? By taking my yoke upon you. It's a thing to be found. And in this, there is a refuting of easy believism. Those who truly come to Christ are given rest. But in that given rest, there is a desire for a deeper rest that has to be found. Nowhere in the Scriptures do we find that our Lord or any of the others taught, come unto me for your ticket to heaven, if that's all you want. If that's all you want, you'll never have it. See, this thing's about a relationship. This thing's about knowing Christ. It's about being made like Christ. So there is a desire for a deeper rest. And that must be found in yoking up with Him. And those who truly come to Him, in verse 28. And take up his yoke upon them, in verse 29. In addition to the initial rest that's given, in the yoke with him, continual rest will be found. And that's the teaching. The school of Christ. Are you interested? Are you interested? It's the way to find rest. Amen. Stand with us.